Recorded live.
You may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I thought I'd throw a little music out there. Like Bobby does.
I like it. It scared me for a second, but I like it.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome for another week. I think this is the last Tuesday of the year.
Yes, sir. Episode number 50 of the year.
Yeah, you guys have been freezing me out every week so I could close it down. Huh? Was that the plan?
That's what the plan was.
Well, good. Well, good. Well, good. We got a lot of good things happening in November. We got hopefully a lot more going on in 2012, starting with January. But anyway, tonight's topic is affection. And the rules are no profanity, and that's pretty much it. It's not Bible study. It's never Bible study. This is a tricky topic. And the reason why I say that is because men are talking about affection. That's not something that's going to probably ever happen again in life. No, I'm only joking. But anyway, when I think about this topic, I wonder if it's something that is important to men as it is to women. Affection. I had a weird discovery not too long ago, and I'm going to admit it. You know, when I was dating my wife, 5 or 6 years ago, or 7 years, I forget how long it was. We were at this restaurant, right? Her favorite restaurant. And it's like Friday afternoon, the weather was perfect. We didn't have any plans. We were just waiting for our table. We're sitting out on the balcony and it's in one seat. You know, back in the day, we just shared one seat. And we were making out. Just making out, waiting for our table. You know, like teenagers.
We were dating?
Yeah, making out outside in a restaurant. You know, and it was great. I remember it was like, wow, this is the only place in the world I want to be right now. But the confession that I want to make now is I can't remember the last time we've done that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just trying to figure out, did I get comfortable or did she get comfortable about the, you know, the affection part of it, you know? So I just want to throw the question out. Maybe y'all can help me with this. But is it just important to men as it is to women? Because we know affection is important to women, but is it just important to men?
Absolutely. It's just as important to men. And I think that's the fallacy that women don't think that it's important to men. And I think that's why it gets confused sometimes. But, you know, to your point, you know, y'all were making out outside, public displays of affection. That could be a myriad of things since you haven't done it in a while. One of them being, you know, the novelty is worn off. I mean, y'all were new, it was fresh, you know, it exciting. But, you know, now y'all got the paperwork on each other, as I say. So it's not that, you know, it's not the same type of relationship now that you've been married for a few years. So, but I do, you know, see where you're coming from with that. But I think that, you know, women don't think that men need that as much. And like you said, we know they do, but, you know, that's where the confusion lies. But, you know, the public, and then you can get into the debate over the whole public displays of affection. You know, if I would have saw you, I would have said, get a room, man. You know, even though I just don't know. I'm not into, I mean, just a little peck, but, you know, not going at it, you know, just making out on the park bench or outside of the restaurant. That's a bit much for my taste.
It was in a private area.
Oh, in a private area. Okay.
Yeah, it was outside in a private area. No, not out front. No, I don't do that.
Oh, okay.
You know, no, it was a controlled environment, should I say.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, that was kind of cool then, you know. Now that y'all weren't in a public setting where kids or anybody walking by line for the meal.
No.
But
it was
pretty much like
an adult restaurant too, by the way.
Gotcha. Yeah. Like I said, back to your question, I think it can be a myriad of things. But I think one of those things is the novelty is worn off. Period. You know, that's one of them. Somebody may disagree with that, but you know, I don't know. That's my thoughts on the matter.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You know, here again, it's one of those things that women expect us to be affectionate to them, show us their, you know, our emotions, that they need it. They're needed and they're wanted by you. It gets them excited. It's like foreplay to them.
Got it.
So, yes, it's us. You know, that's like leaving the house without giving a kiss, saying I love you. You never know the next time you see it. You know, you don't know if you'll make it back. It's one of those simple type things. So,
I mean, but, and that's a good way to think of it. But shouldn't it be more than that? Like, you know, I'm going to give you a kiss because I might not ever see you again. Or I want to give you a kiss because I want you to know that I love you. Period. I'm thinking. Should it have to be like, you know, a life or death thing?
I don't think life and death, but, you know, we should be more affectionate and show our love and gratitude. I mean, we like to show it in different ways. Jewelry, money, buy your new car, take you out to dinner. But that, you know, the way we got her is the way you got to kind of keep them sometimes. You know, that courting stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that rubbing the leg, saying you're beautiful, those things.
But to your question, I think that it absolutely should not be about life or death. You know, because, I mean, what kind of affection is that? You know, you go in to lean in for a kiss, and you're like, this may be the last time we see each other, baby. I mean, that doesn't really set the mood. You know,
it's not like you're going off to war, you know what I mean?
Exactly. It's like, come here, you know, let me get some sugar, you know.
Yeah.
Give me some of that sugar. I mean, that's affection. So, I mean, yeah, it shouldn't be like this is our last time we see each other, I think.
Yeah. How important is that kiss, though? How important is it? To us, to them? Is it more important to them than to us? You see what I'm saying? Because, I mean, are we doing it on the regular just because we want to with no motive as men?
I think it's important for both of us, and I think that it's better for us when they initiate. And I think, like the brother said earlier, is that most often is the case that the women are laying in wait. They're waiting for us to initiate, to make the first move. And it's, you know, we just like, come on. Do I have to initiate a kiss or, you know, whatever, 100% of the time? And, yeah, I think it's mutual. You know, we as men feel good when our wife leans in to kiss us. And it's not initiated. It's not like in reciprocation from us, you know, just gave her a kiss or whatever. So imagine, like the brother opened the show with, imagine you sitting in a private spot in a restaurant and, you know, it's already no kids around, you know, y'all in a private area. And just imagine if your wife leans in and start and initiates y'all making out. You're going to be like, oh, no, I don't like that. You know, I mean, come on. I mean, who wouldn't enjoy that? You know, so, you know, to your question, I think it's mutual.
Okay. Even though the novelty is maybe worn off, that would still be a good thing to happen somewhere down the line.
Absolutely. I don't think the novelty of that ever wears off. But what I was saying with the novelty is that we get comfortable, we get complacent. And it's like, you know, the thought may cross one of your minds like, you know, we're in, it's a nice evening. You know, we're about to have a nice meal. You know, the kids are away or whatever the case may be. And, you know, if you don't follow up, you know, with that thought and act on it, you know, because it's like, ah, whatever, she ain't going to respond, you know, like I want her to, so she may push me away. I think that's a big part of it, too, is rejection. But on the flip side, we would never reject. I mean, I don't see a guy, like, rejecting that unless he was just totally averse to public displays of affection, period, you know, even in a private area. But generally speaking, you know, us guys, we would never reject that. Would never reject that.
I beg to differ.
Okay.
Because sometimes we get preoccupied. The game, work. Well, Miss not in a public area, though. I'm just saying in the house. She may come while you're watching, you know, the Super Bowl and want a hug and a kiss. But, oh, whoa. Not the time. My team is losing. It's not the time.
But like in a restaurant, you know, you could be occupied, you know, on social media or text messaging or whatever, or having another conversation. I mean, you could be occupied that way, but you know, it's like I said, I think it's if you were just sitting there, y'all were just chilling, waiting for your table, nobody was around, and wife she didn't say anything. She just grabbed you and just started making out with you. I mean, come on. Who's going to be like, I'm preoccupied?
Yeah, that just doesn't happen. Not even.
But why doesn't it happen? Why doesn't it happen? That's your question.
That's the $64 million question right there. Why does it happen? I mean, why doesn't it?
Yeah, why doesn't it happen?
I don't know. I mean, it should. That would be great.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But I think to get to that point, some work has to be laid down.
Yeah, and also you have to look at people's personality, because some women are just not affectionate. You know, that's not their thing, the whole touchy-feely thing. You know, some women are actually uncomfortable with that, even in a private setting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, if you're just sitting on the couch and, you know, I like to, you know, be up close to my wife sitting on the couch watching TV.
Sure.
You know, sometimes she's like, you know, can I get some space? You know, because that's me. You know, I'm more the affectionate one in a relationship where she's just like, you know, that's not her personality per se. So I mean, you could take it or leave. Yeah, in some respects, yeah. And but I mean, you could relate it to, you know, why that doesn't happen is because of personalities. You know, personalities. And I don't know if any of y'all have quote unquote aggressive women. I'm not saying that in a negative light, but you know, in that scenario, Mr. Host, it would be rare if we're sitting in a. I mean, that would be like totally like, what is wrong with you? You know, have you had something to drink? I mean, what is? I would be like kind of nervous. Like, what is going on with you? Because that's just totally out of character, you know, for my wife. So.
So you would feel like you were being punked in a restaurant if that was
it's like, where the cameras? Yeah, because I mean that would just be totally out of character, you know, for her. But I mean, it's that you know, in that respect, I would be kind of like eyebrow raised, like, what is going on here? You know, where are the cameras? When is the balloons and stuff gonna come out? You know, and all the laughter. We like, we got you, you know, but. I don't know, that's just me.
So would you say that outside of your current situation, would you say that public displays of affection turn more women on than men? Do women like when we show our affection in public, like we'll grab their hand or we'll put our arm around them, you know what I mean, or we'll just, you know, just get hugged up with them in public? And we may be like, back off. Somebody may be watching.
Yeah, I think it may, again, depend on the person. But I know with me, like back when we were dating, like we would always hold hands. Gotcha. You know, and it was comfortable, you know, for me to reach out and grab her hand. It was cool. But now I'm kind of, I guess, I'm a little hesitant because It's just not the same. Like you said, I mean, when y'all were dating, y'all were making out in the back of the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, just chilling, just like going at it.
Yeah.
You know, whereas when we were, you know, dating, we held hands. You know, we walk and I would just always hold hands. But now it's kind of, I don't know, I don't feel as comfortable, you know, reaching, even though I still like to hold her hand, but I don't feel as comfortable, you know, with reaching out the hand for the fear of rejection.
Wow. But that's like, that's to me, and not, you know, not to be on your street, even
sure.
though I think we may be, but but isn't that going backwards? And it's the same with me, brother, just not you, but isn't that going backwards, like you just met her and you don't want to reach out and grab her hand for the fear of rejection? I mean, think about that.
Yeah,
that is,
I mean,
going backwards, man. That is.
Isn't that going backwards? Like, you done been with it. You got kids. You got a house. You got a mortgage. You got everything. Bank account, everything. And there's still the fear of rejection to someone that you have established a union with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Wow. 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 Yeah, but see, it's not just you. You know, because sometimes, you know, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know whether she'll receive it, whether she's thinking about, you know, the argument we had last week or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and we have to look at it. It has to be limited, too, because, like, if it were me, like, I would always be, you know, if we're watching TV on the couch or whatever, as an example, I would always be, like, close to her. I would prefer to be close to her, you know, and just hugged up with her or holding hands on the couch watching the program. But I have to limit myself. You know, to be like, I have to think in my mind, well, we just, you know, I was just really close to her last evening. She may not want that two evenings in a row.
Wow.
You know, and because, again, it goes back to personality. And it's cool, you know, I'm still good sitting beside her, but, you know, I would prefer to, you know, get a little closer. But at the same time, I'm thinking in the mind, it's like, you know, I don't want to push the envelope. Because I know her, you know, I know that's it's more me than her. Like, you know, I need that more than she does, you know. But I mean,
okay.
She likes it, but she would rather not it be seven nights a week if we're watching TV and I'm just like leaning on her and all that kind of stuff.
Are you sure? Are
yes.
you 100% sure that that's the way it is? Because what I'm thinking is the more we do like, and again, the movie that you may be watching with her may have. May have something to do with it, too. Like, if y'all watching the game, she's sitting there just because she just want to be next to you and you want to be affectionate, that's fine. But if y'all sitting there watching the chick flick, something she want to watch, I would think that she would really like more affection at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It depends on what, you know, what the program is. And also what we did before. You know,
yeah.
If she slaved in the kitchen, versus if we went on a date night and, you know, we put the kids to bed and then we're watching the movie or whatever, it would be different.
Gotcha. Anybody else on that public affection part for men and women versus men versus women?
Well, it just depends on your ladies. I mean, you have some that don't like you like to be touched or be affectionate and public, so they tell you stop, and then next thing you know, she done cop the attitude, so you don't do it anymore. So it could be that you did it, you tried this in the past, and you've done it before, and one thing happened, so you just don't try it again.
Yeah, I think with the whole affection piece, rejection is huge, because we don't like to be rejected. And back to what you were saying, Mr. Host, this is your wife. This is somebody that you've established, you know, a home with, you got kids with, and the rejection cuts a little deeper with her than, you know, when you're early on in the courting stage.
Sure.
Because you don't really expect to be rejected when you offer up, you know, some type of affection.
Wow. Has anybody been accused of, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, you're only affectionate when it's time for sex?
Haven't we all? I mean, really.
But how true is that?
I've,
I mean, I'm saying, You say haven't we all, and maybe we all have, but how?
It's very true. I mean, that's the reason why you did it at the restaurant. That's the reason why you do it before you go to the movie. That's the reason why you wanted to mess with it in the first place. Man, it's simple, man. We don't change.
So what you're saying is we have a motive. We have a sense of purpose when we reach out and hold that hand.
Nah, I mean, not 100% of the time, but yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right.
He's right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we are horrible.
But I think it goes back to what I said, Mr. Host, is that the opportunities where the thought crossed my mind to make out with you on the couch or hold your hand out and pull or whatever.
Yeah.
If that's not, like the brother said, if that's not in her personality, then we're gonna hold back. We're going to hold that extra kiss, that extra hand hold, you know, back. So, and then when it's time to get busy, it's like, well, how come you didn't kiss me earlier? How come you didn't hold my hand earlier? And I'm like, and again, it goes back to the fear of rejection. You know,
gotcha.
I thought about holding your hand or I thought about giving you a peck on the cheek or whatever, but I didn't. And it's a fine line. You know, how many times do you face rejection that you just like, forget it. It's not even worth it.
Yeah. Wow. And the crazy part is, you know, we may face more rejection than on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just seems like what I'm hearing, you know, we're pretty much down for whatever. 99%
yep.
of the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, you know, we all. There was also a point that was made that we really get affectionate when it's time for sex or when it's time to be intimate. And I think that also may cause a strain, you know, on. I mean, just think about this. It's time to get busy. In the back of her mind, here he comes.
Mm-hmm.
He wants it. He's come trying to kiss me, trying to hold me, trying to do all this stuff. Now he wants something. Right?
Yeah.
Now, every time you go at it, he must want to do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Every time, because I've dated some women like that. Every time they wanted to be affectionate, I know where it was going. It wasn't I want to kiss, and that's where it ends. No, it goes straight to the bedroom. So what I'm saying is, when but is that a good place to be? Like, whenever we turn the affection knob on, they think that it's time for us to, you know, go straight to the bedroom?
No, of course not. And, it should be all-day foreplay. But what that requires is some reciprocation on their part.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, if they did, I mean, one rejection is huge for us. That might squander our next 3, 4, 5, 6 opportunities when the thought crosses our mind outside of getting busy, you know, to be affectionate. Because, like we said earlier, 100% of the time when we want to be affectionate, it's not because we want, you know, it's just because we want to be affectionate. You know, it's a lot of times where you really can't go right at it anyway. You may be just getting home from work, on your way to work, or just, you know, passing by, you might have, you know, saw at a kid's activity or whatever and kissed her goodbye, you know, before she goes home or whatever the case may be. It may just be in passing, a little affection in passing where you really can't, you know, get right to it anyway. So, but I think the rejection piece is just major because that one rejection that may mess up our next few opportunities or, you know, for an extended period of time, you know, where it may be a week, you know, where we don't even attempt to be affectionate anymore just because of that one rejection. Because I think, like I said earlier, it goes back to the fact that this is your wife.
Yeah.
And that cuts a whole lot deeper than some chick that you've been dating for 6 months or a year. You know what I mean?
I do.
It's just like, you know, I don't know.
I mean, you're making perfectly good sense. I mean, because, again, we get shot down at home, too.
Sometimes when you're dating, you get shot down in the street. You try to walk up and push up on somebody, and nah, you know, I got a man, or whatever the case may be. You get shot down, and I mean, as men, I think at some point we never get used to getting shot down. And like you said, it cuts deep when it's your wife, big time.
And especially when you say that, you know, in the past, in your experiences with the woman before she was your wife, you knew that was somewhere in her. You know, it wasn't.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It does exist. So you
yes.
know it is. You just got to tap yes. into it. But it's almost like the spigot's turned off in that department, you know, the affectionate department.
Yes.
And then you think about in context where you said that women you dated in the past, they were aggressive. And it was cool that when they started kissing you, you were like, you knew where it was going. You know, and in some respects, you almost felt, you know, that was they were almost acting like a man in that situation, being aggressive, and if it was too much, men can feel like they're a piece of meat as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like that's all you want me for is the mm-hmm. sex. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, but you know, that's ideal in a marriage, I think, for a man to feel that way, that his wife is, you know. Hungry for him in that respect.
Oh yeah,
because
absolutely.
we hear the different side most times where it's an mm-hmm. issue. You know,
yep.
You know, just like you know, does sex change in a marriage? We can talk about that till the cows come home. Yes, it does. Why does it? Okay, maybe because the affection is gone, and just like you said, you know, it's gotten stale.
And life in general. As we said, mortgage, kids, bills, work, all of that stuff, it makes it more difficult. Doesn't make it impossible, but it makes it more difficult, to be affectionate, you know, with all the everything else going along where, you know, back in the day before you had kids and all that stuff, before you were really established, it was a bit easier to be, you know, affectionate because you didn't have all the worries of the world.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know, man. And the reason why I say I don't know that is because if you can remember being a teenager, talking to your girlfriend on the phone all night, and you just like, man, I got to get over there. You know, you find a way to sneak in the house while our parents are sleeping. Creep up into the bedroom to get you a little bit of affection. I mean, you know, you sneak out the house, you lie to your parents, you jump through hoops to get that affection.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, you see what I'm saying? I mean, we have all been in a situation where we've had to go through extreme measures to get that affection. But now we get married and it's like, yeah, well, you know, got these kids. I think we fall for the okey-doke at some point.
But I think it's mutual.
Go ahead. Somebody say something.
Go ahead, P-Town.
No, I'm just saying it's mutual. I mean, they want to do the same thing, but you will darn near get yourself so in trouble.
Yeah. Thank you.
Satisfaction.
Thank you. Father could have a shotgun, could be a cop. You don't care. You like leave the window open. I'm trying. I'll climb through it. I know it's two stories. I'm climb through.
But wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Could that be it? And we're talking about rejection.
Sure.
But could the fact that we have a defeatist attitude, you know, whereas we go in one time for the handhold or for the smooch, and she's an eye, you know, I got makeup on, or you know, I, I'm off to work, or whatever the case may be, and we're just like, okay. So for the next few days, or we just don't even make the attempt. Well, you just said you're crawling through bedroom windows, you know, sneaking down the hallway. It's like that. Dad's got a shotgun right next to his bed. It's like we don't even care. It's like we'll go through all of that, and with our wife, it's like after that first rejection, you know, it's like, oh, well, okay. So we're not willing to go through the same obstacles for our wife that we were with a teenage love, if that makes any sense.
It's signed and sealed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the
yeah.
difference. The papers are signed and sealed. I mean, you achieve, you accomplish your goal. When you ask her to marry you, and she says yes, then you've done all of the controls that you were supposed to do to get to that point.
Yeah.
So what are the processes after marriage to keep that going is what affection should be, you know. Nobody
yeah.
is that. How do you keep that going once you say I do? We all know how to do it before we get there. I mean, that's in everybody's handbook.
So we know how to do it.
We know how to do it, but we just don't. Nobody told us what to do once we say I do.
What do you mean? Nobody told us. You know how to do it. You know how to do it, but you get married and forget how to do it?
No, it's not that you forget. Nobody told you.
Oh, you got to keep doing it.
And you went to the reception hall. There's not a man that came to you and says, all right, now you got to keep doing what you're doing to keep it.
Okay.
Yeah, and we have a guest that said, you know, wondering why men feel rejected when a woman refuses to hold hands with them. And it's rejection because there's an attempt at affection. It doesn't matter whether it's holding hands or a peck on the cheek or making out in the back of a restaurant in a private area.
Yeah.
It all rolls up to rejection. And, again, men have big egos.
Yep.
And it's like, come on. And this is your wife? The person you got kids with, you're going to be like, oh, no. You know, it's not somebody you just met and you're trying to feel them out. This is your wife. Y'all got kids together, assets together, and she, you know, it's bigger than, you know, it's just a failed attempt at affection. And it goes a lot deeper than just she don't want to hold my hand. It's not that simple.
Yeah, I mean, that right there is on the same lines of I'm coming to give you a kiss and you turn your face.
Mm.
Whether we in public or we or not.
Oh, no, that's an embarrassment.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
I mean, for men, I mean, you know, how would a woman feel? You know what I'm saying? She come to give you a kiss and you turn your face. Nah, not now. My boss is here. Not now. The kids are in the kitchen. You know,
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you go in for the lips and she.
Yeah. I tell you, man, when I was dating my wife, we went to a restaurant. And when we walked out of the restaurant, she wanted me to go check out the shoe store. So she took my hand and grabbed my hand and said, come on with me. That was the highlight of the whole night. That may have been the highlight of our whole dating period right there.
Wow.
That was it. Just that one notion. She said, come on. I mean, that meant I got you. You're with me. Whatever it meant, I don't know what it meant, but that's it with some good stuff.
Wow.
You know what I mean? That's when I said, you know what? She is potential, right? This thing may keep going nonstop.
And she dragged you pulled you by the hand to a shoe store, and you were like,
marriage material. I was in heaven.
But check it. Just imagine, you know, same little date night or whatever, and say she grabbed your hand and pulled you into a section in the shoe store or wherever, or a corner in an alley and just made out with you right there.
You reach inside your pocket, you pull a check out, and you put your signature on it.
And you go to Zales next door.
You pull out a blank check, put your signature on it, and say it's whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I'm saying is that in that scenario, if she pulled you by the hand, you know, grabbed you, pulled you in a corner, pulled you in an alley or whatever, and just made out with you for a few seconds, and then y'all went to do shoe shopping or whatever. I'm not saying, you know, get on down right in the middle of the store street or whatever. But the impact, you know, of that little quick moment where she took the initiative, you know, come here, pull you in the dressing room or whatever the case may be and just give you a little,
man.
You know, come on, man.
Go
ahead. Yeah.
Why why minimize what Tony just said? Meaning, in other words, you know, why does it have to go all the way there? He just expressed something that obviously stuck in his mind and impacted him for so long that he remembers that moment more than any other moment in his dating experience with his life.
For sure.
Sure. And that's good, Rodney. And I'm not minimizing it, but I'm just saying that it could have been maximized a little more. You know, it was important. You know,
yeah.
I'm not, you know, I feel the brother. You know, she dragged him, and you can almost see him in the exactly. So I'm not minimizing, but I'm just imagining, like, if she took it a little further, he would remember that, too.
Because the way Tony described it, and that's the next thing I'm hoping for. That sounded so smooth, so cool, and so exhilarating. Man, I'm looking for my wife to do that for me.
Yeah. Hey, fellas, it was bad. It was bad. I was done.
Yeah.
I was, like, on cloud nine. And we're not supposed to be as men on cloud nine. I was on cloud nine. I was like, where else would you want to take me? Let's just go. You know, and those things that you're describing happened.
But when,
you know what I mean?
When's the last time, Mr. Host, that you were pulled by your hand to go anywhere?
Good point.
It's been a while.
Or the last time you felt like that.
She came close today. Came very close today. You know, there was a glimpse. I got a little glimpse today. You know. But, you know, I had to change. See, preparing for this topic, I had to do some self-evaluation.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, you know, I had to look back on the affection that I hadn't been displaying, that I've been taking for granted. So I said, you know, I got to step my game up a little bit. You know, whenever you're thinking about something that you're getting ready to talk about or do or go somewhere or a movie or something like that, sometimes you prepare yourself. I had to prepare myself all week. So then I was like, okay, let me try to be a little bit more affectionate just to see what happens. And, yes, it did pay off. So it was very recent. But prior to that, it was very – it wasn't, you know, it's been a while for that kind of impact.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, just to answer your question. Yeah, but, whew. I tell you, and look, it put me on, I mean, things like that put me on a roller coaster where my sense of purpose was urgent.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, she is the one. I'm not looking for nothing else. I got what I need right here. Let me just finalize this thing and move forward. You know what I'm saying? So
right. When,
like, guest seven asked the question, you know, why do we feel rejected when we don't get our hand held? You know, just think about how it makes you feel when you do get your hand held.
Right.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Now, see, and you know what's interesting about that now, cause now that I'm thinking about it and just recalculating or reviewing my relationship, now that's something my wife is really good at, you know, holding hands, you know, wherever we're at, you know, she want to walk with her, you know, us holding hands, which is really cool. But I think after a while, you almost get numb to it.
Yeah.
So that obviously is, so the way you look at it, maybe for say in your relationship, it's looked at differently in mine. You look at it as, well, it's one of the most exhilarating things that kind of ever took place in my relationship. And then I'm looking at it and we're saying, well, you know, this is kind of numb for me, which in your relationship something might be numb. And I'm like, that's what I'm looking for. Just a little thing like that would take me over the top.
Over the top.
It would take me over the top. Whatever that little thing could be with what Rodney was describing and saying, you're in the store and then she just grab you up and give you a nice affectionate kiss,
yeah,
and hug or something like that. That would take it over the top.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
You know, if I was something like me, because holding hands, okay, I'm, and I shouldn't be. Every moment we do that, I should feel just like you felt in that one moment.
Yeah,
but after a while, like I said, you just kind of get numb to it. Okay, we gotta spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, because you've come to expect it.
Exactly. You've come to expect it.
Yeah. Hey, but that's a good thing to expect.
No, absolutely.
I'm in. Sign me up for that.
But, Mr. Host, I think it goes even deeper than that. You know, we're talking about holding hands and maybe a peck or an affectionate kiss or making out or whatever. But what about when they don't talk to you? That's rough too. I mean, you talk about a handhold. I mean, but when they get the silent treatment, that's like, oh gosh. I mean,
yeah,
on top of the fact, like when you're going for the lips and she, you know, give you the cheek and she's not talking to you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my. What
but is
I
that
done?
Is that? I mean, because there's got to be a reason for everything. And again,
yeah,
we don't know what caused these things. A lot of times it may be that time of the month, something we said that we didn't know we said, something that we did that we didn't know we did. You know what I mean? Or maybe an argument that happened in 1999.
Still unresolved. Still unresolved.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know. I mean, who knows? You know. But it still stops progress.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the thing. You know. So how do we get to that point where, like, look, you know, I need you to talk to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be able to, you know, to work this thing out so we can move on. Because every, you know, every day that you don't talk is just like, you know, I don't know. It's a bad day for a marriage.
It's torture. And you look at it like when we do argue or we're on the outs or whatever, look at how affection plays in both how the husband feels and how the wife feels. Now, they can resolve anything with a kiss, a handhold or whatever, or literally, you know, getting on down. I mean, but at the same time, we go at, you know, we had a little, it's like, oh, come on, you know, give me a little, and they like, no. That it's actually the opposite effect. Like, they don't want any affection until it's actually talked out, resolved fully, you know, and you know, litigated properly, exhibit A, B, and C, and all this stuff. Where it's like, on the flip side with us, you know, they could have done something crazy, you know, spent a whole bunch of money at the mall or whatever, and to make up for it, they give us some affection, you know, and the ultimate affection. It's like, you know, what did you do again? I don't even remember. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Because that works for me. I'm a pushover.
Yeah. We all are. You could be steamed up mad, and she's like, you know what? Come on up here. I mean, what are you going to do? You know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, we do talk about the power that they possess, that they some of them don't utilize.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, yeah, because I will melt.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot to be saying on a man's call, but I ain't going
to lie. Hey, we talking about affection here, bro. It's all right.
Absolutely. I was going to say, man, you talking about the kryptonite. All men are going to buckle under the kryptonite. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and we marry the one that possesses the kryptonite.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, there may be another woman who's fine. That maybe, you know, hey, you're great, you're beautiful, but you don't have a kryptonite.
Right.
You just don't have it. You know what I mean? You know, at the end of the day, I may want to be with you, but I'm going to go back to the kryptonite.
Right.
You know? But on those terms, I want to talk about infidelity for a couple minutes in reference to women and infidelity. Because we're hearing more and more and more that women are cheating. But are they cheating for sex? Or are they cheating for lack of affection?
Well, you know, that's a real interesting one, only because I have a friend of mine whose wife stepped out on him. And she said, well, when I say stepped out, she says that there was nothing sexual to it. And he had found some emails and stuff, and you know, some of the things that are being said didn't pertain necessarily to sex. It wasn't sexual things that he caught on her emails and stuff, but they were intimate things that were being said. And so when he finally had to confront her with it, and he was kind of ticked off about it, rightfully so. That's what she had said. She said, it was nothing sexual, you know, I promise you. And it had been going on for a long time. It was just kind of she stepped out for affection.
Wow.
And she explained it to him on, you know, what happened and everything. And they're still going through, even now, he's still kind of like scratching his head on what to do, where to go, or, you know, they have kids, obviously, or at least one kid. So since you brought that up, that is something that I think happens. That's not something that you hear from a man's side, I don't think. I don't think I've heard of men saying they're stepping on just purely for affection.
Mm-hmm.
No.
But to hear that from a woman's side, yeah, I think that was the first I heard on some kind of like infidelity from an affection side.
Yeah.
But I think that's what it's rooted in. You know, that's what, you know, when you talk about women, is that emotional piece. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, like we say, I mean, we did a lot of things when we were in the dating and courting stage that we may not do anymore, you know, now that we got the paperwork on her.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
And she doesn't, she still needs that. And I think that where we play it wrong is that we go about it kind of the same way, you know, that one trick pony, you know, where she always liked flowers. You know, let me send her some flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Flowers may not work for her anymore.
Yeah.
You know, she may need a day at the spa or something. I don't know. But I think that we get too relaxed in that, you know, well, I wrote her a little note and put on her car back in high school. You know, I'm going to write a little note and put on her car before she go to work at her career. You know, and it might have the same effect, but it might not. And I think that we rely too much on the old, and we don't, as men, I don't think we evolve and try to meet her needs in a different way, because the need didn't dissipate. You know, it didn't disappear, it didn't go away that, you know, now that we're married, I don't need this, that emotional, the flowers and the chocolates and, you know, the strolls in the park at night. That didn't go away. She still needs that. But with kids, with careers, with mortgages, with job commitments, we have to find different ways. And a lot of times I think that we just sort of, because it's more difficult to get it in, I think that we sort of fall back and say, well, you know, I got the paperwork on her, so she ain't going nowhere. You know, that's when they fall into the emotional stuff, because they're not getting it from us.
Yeah. And you make a good point, because, I mean, we've got this wife that there's kids, there's career, there's responsibilities,
right,
all these things. And we're getting up, we're doing our regiment every day, same regiment, other than weekends. You know, and you may even, you give her a kiss goodbye. Okay, honey, goodbye. You know, and then you go to work, whatever, you come back home. It's that dude that sees her at work or at lunch hour in the elevator and be like, wow, you really look nice today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And it's not that you didn't want to pay her that, because, I mean, that's your woman. You love her. She looked nice to you every day. You see what I'm saying? But it's just that she's not hearing it on the regular. So when this person says it, it's like, well, thank you.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Mr. Hoax. Goes right back to what we were talking about earlier, rejection. Because how many times have we paid a compliment? Oh, I don't look good in this dress. You know, oh, you're just saying that. You know, the recipient doesn't receive it well. So we get to a point where, which I ain't going to say nothing. And like you said, the dude at work on the elevator is like, wow, you look really good. Now, if we had said that, she would have responded, well, you know, this is two sizes too tight, you know, I need to lose some, or whatever the case may be. They don't receive that compliment where we're genuine, you know, in our affection, in the compliment. And, you know, it's just like, but they receive this. Somebody could say the exact same thing, but they receive it different, you know, which is crazy.
But are we genuine?
Yes.
Most of the time. I mean, Patrice earlier said that our affection is with a sense of purpose.
Right.
I mean, right? So, I mean, that, you know, so that just brings up the question. When we say, honey, you look nice in that dress, is that one of those sense of purpose compliments?
Well,
go ahead, Rodney.
No, I was going to say that I think this is where that whole honesty just has to come into play. And I know a lot of brothers don't want to be honest, completely honest in their relationship. And I think Tony has said, I think I remember him saying something that's along the same lines of how my relationship is with my wife, that if the food, you know, she cooks something, I'm going to let her know, that don't taste good. Don't cook that again.
Sure.
You know, kind of thing. I'm just going to be honest with her. Not rude, but just honest. You know, this isn't the way. And I think if you put honesty into it, when you do come out with something to say, you know what, this is it. This is the bomb right here. You know, this is a good, or what you're wearing. I don't like that sweater. I'm going to burn it. And I told my wife this. I said, I'm going to burn it. I do not like that sweater. I'm going to good on you. It's real old and da-da-da-da, but she likes it. And I said, well, and then we went out, got her some stuff over the holidays and said, you know, yeah, this is nice. This is kind of the outfit I want. Oh, yeah, this is nice. Da-da-da-da. Oh, I look good in here. She's shaking her hand around. And, I won't tell you the rest of it, but, I got the win. I got the wind behind it.
You got the wind behind it.
We get the gist.
Right. But I'm just saying, I think if you're saying it all the time, then, yeah, it becomes less genuine to her. I think it's just watered down. It's numbing. Okay, well, yeah, you kind of always say this. When I know, when she know herself that this outfit's raggedy, or she knows herself this food doesn't taste as good as I know. I didn't even have all the ingredients, and I put it together. And now you're sitting there talking about it. It tastes just as good as the last one.
And you said something interesting there about, you know, you went out and got her some, you know, updated her, you know, you updated her wardrobe or whatever the case may be. And, you know, we're talking about affection. And, you know, Christmas was just 2 days ago. And I told the wife, you know, not to get me anything. You know, I said, I don't need anything. I went and updated my wardrobe in November. You know, so I was good, and she always, you know, talks about, well, I don't know what you like, and, you know, this or that. You know, just get what you need, you know, and that'll be your Christmas gift to yourself or whatever. But she actually went out on, you know, talking about, she hates to shop. I mean, despises to shop for herself or for anybody. You know, that's not, you know, she only shops when she needs something, and she doesn't like it, you know, when she does it. Even at that time. So she goes out on Christmas Eve, you know, and I've got to go shop. I'm like, what are you going shopping for? I told you I don't want anything. I don't need anything. So, you know, I'm like, what are you going to buy? And she's like, no, I gotta go shopping. And I'm just like, okay. So Christmas arrives, you know, and, you know, she got me a bunch of stuff, you know, shirts, ties, pants, socks, you know, it ranges from basics to stuff that, you know, I want, you know, needs and wants, you know, all in there together. And as y'all know that I, you know, that was a great thing. And we talked about this before many times, that I don't want to sit and write down, okay, I want this tie from Macy's. It's red. Mm-hmm. It's by the, you know, the hat rack. You know, this is the one I want, and she go by, and then I open it, and there's the tie I wanted from Macy's. I don't want to do that. I want you to figure me out, you know, figure out what I like, figure out my sizes, and that's exactly what she did, and it was totally unexpected. And you talk about affection. I mean, I was just like on cloud nine because I'm just, oh, you know, we got gifts and kids opening gifts. I wasn't expecting anything under the tree from her. Wasn't looking for anything, you know, wasn't hoping that she surprised me, but she was like, you need to open your gifts. I'm like, what? You got me some gifts? Really? Did you know my size? You knew my sizes? So then, I mean, she literally went in, found my size, shirt sizes, pant sizes, you know, the kind of ties, striped ties I like, and she did an excellent job. Now, you talk about affection. I mean, that's because, again, went out on Christmas Eve in the madness, you know, when she doesn't like to shop.
Yeah.
And her sole purse, she didn't get anything else but stuff for me. And I told her beforehand, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I don't want you going out in the madness on Christmas Eve to get me something that I don't need anything. So you talk about affection. That was affectionate. You know, that was affection.
That's good stuff.
Now, if you didn't like anything, what would you just not try to hurt her feelings on anything and just accepted it and say, yeah, this is all really nice? Or how would you handle that?
Well, initially, and Rodney, that's a great question. And in years past, that has happened. You know, and initially this is what I do, you know, when you got the cameras clicking and the video camera rolling. Oh, this is great, honey. You know, and then when the camera shuts off, you know, the kitchen is shut down and you're turning in for bed. It's like, or the next day, it's like, yeah,
right.
You still got a receipt for that sweater, you know. Just not feeling that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's how I played it. But
okay.
And in years past, she has done that. But in this case, Rodney, she did well.
Okay.
Yeah, so and that's where I think it goes back to what we said earlier about rejection. I was thinking that in years past, previous experiences, like she always, you know, she had gotten it wrong. And I'm just like, you know, initially I'm like, yeah, you know, thanks, but no thanks. You know, this ain't right. I end up taking it back and replacing it, updating it, or whatever. But she stuck to it. And, you know, for my birthday, either last year or the year before, she did the same thing. You know, got my sizes, you know, went out and got me some nice stuff. I'm like, I can actually wear this stuff. I mean, it's like, this is good stuff. I mean, you did a good job, honey. You know,
mm-hmm.
So she didn't take the rejection and just be like, well, just forget it. You know, get what you,
gotcha.
You know what you like. Just get what you need and whatever. You know, I ain't even worried about you. But the fact is that she kept at it. She didn't say, you know, well, you know, I've failed in the past, so I know I'm just going to fail again. She just kept trying, and now she's finally gotten it right. She's gotten
good
it right.
Point. That's a good point.
That is a good point. That says a lot. That says a lot about how she feels about you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was important for her to make you happy on Christmas. Because she could have, I mean, you gave her an out.
Yeah.
Right.
You gave her an out. You was like, nah, you know, don't buy me anything. I'm good. I already bought my stuff. I'm good. And, you know, Christmas Eve, she was like, nah, I can't let my man wake up and not unwrap any gifts and everybody else is unwrapping gifts. That's not going to happen.
Mm.
I got to go do what I got to do.
Yeah.
Even when you tried to talk her out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. And to go out shopping for me, just only for me.
Yeah.
Like that
mm-hmm.
was, there was nothing. She didn't go to the grocery store. I mean, she literally went out in the madness, in the lines, in the hectic atmosphere.
Yeah.
Specifically for me. And I appreciate that. I mean, and I told her immediately, you know, after the kitchen was shut down and we turning in for bed, and I gave her some affection. I was like, I gave her a little kiss. I was like, honey, I really like the socks and the shirt and the tie and the pants. Everything you got me was on point, period. I like it. I'm glad you didn't have to do it, but you did, and I really appreciate it.
So let me ask this question, if you guys don't mind.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I know, you know, we often talk about, you know, what we're doing in terms of men doing things to maybe score some points
mm-hmm.
for the bigger prize,
sure.
Whatever that might be, whether that's a trip or whatever we're trying to do. Typically, we know some things that it just refers to automatically. But from a woman's standpoint, because I'm not saying that's what happened with you, but
yeah.
It starts dialing in my mind, do women do the same thing? And then for what? They probably don't do it necessarily because they don't have to do anything for sex,
right?
To win points for
right.
sex, because they know you're gonna be mad as you are. And I know she came. We were upset. I was upset. We're not upset, but we were having a disagreement. Next thing I know, a couple hours later, I'm sitting in the living room watching TV, and she comes down the steps in, you know, lingerie and high heel shoes, and she don't wear high heels.
Oh my!
Right. So. You know, all the madness went out the window. Yeah, you know, that was it. I was like, I just met you. but I'm saying, based on what you were just saying about the, you know, Christmas or just buying presents or maybe, you know, Tony with grabbing the hand or anything like that. Do women do also? Do they do things for points? And if so, what do you think they're collecting for?
That's a great question. Hey, Rodney, you answer because I don't have the answer for it, brother.
Yeah, that is a deep question because, like you say, I mean, they don't need to do anything to, you know, for sex. I mean, it's like what? So what is their? I don't know. I mean, what is? I don't know.
Or maybe they don't do it. Maybe they just do it because they're genuinely
just try to do it. I don't know.
I think they do, though.
Okay.
I think that they do things that we think are that they're supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like when they go shopping, they know the ingredients that you like, what
yeah.
you eat,
mm-hmm.
what you don't eat. So they buy,
mm-hmm.
kind of tend to get the stuff that you eat. You know,
mm-hmm.
they wash your clothes, make sure that you got some underwear and some socks or something. You know, they'll do things, you know, and we'll think it's subliminal. We'll think, hey, yeah, whatever. Just like you
mm-hmm.
said, Rodney, holding hands to you is no big thing. But to her, she knows, yeah, he likes this. I'm going to just keep
mm-hmm.
holding hands. You see,
mm-hmm.
And whether it's brownie points or whatever, I think their motive is just different than ours. They just want to make us happy. We just
yeah.
want to score.
Right. right.
yeah, and look at, you know, what he said is that, and this may be, I don't know, but I'm going to say it anyway. Maybe it's us. And when what I mean by that is that coming downstairs, and fellas, I'm not the man. I've never met Rodney's wife. I'm just go with me with the idea of your wife coming downstairs
okay.
with the lingerie on, with the high heels on. What if she did that twice a week? I mean, it would almost be like, you know, Rodney saying, you know, I get that twice a week. You know, it's not something out of the norm. So it wouldn't have the same effect. So what I'm saying is maybe it's us where, like the host said, they do when if it's grocery shopping or whatever, they are looking out for us to try to make us happy, but it's not as much as we want it, you know, whereas that whole coming down the stairs, it may be once a month, you know,
right.
where – I mean, and they're like, hey, that was a big deal for me because I don't like wearing high heels. I don't like putting on these thong underwear, you know, whatever
right.
the case may be. Whereas we're like, won't you do it more? And, you know, she's like, well, it wouldn't have the same effect if I did it two or three times a week.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I can tell you this. If they did it two or three times a week, I'd write a lot more books. I can tell you that.
yes, yes.
I would know some things brothers don't know. I'm saying that because I will write with a lot of confidence.
Yeah. But I think what I'm saying is I think that they know that they can do that, but they don't. It's like they don't give us all of it. You know, they don't give us that moment. Where you look up, you watching a game or whatever, and it's just like, whoa, let me
yeah.
cut the TV off.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's time to get busy. You know,
yeah.
where they don't give us that every week. It's like, oh, I look up, it's Wednesday. You know, it's 10 o'clock. I expect her to be coming down in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There she is. You know, and maybe they don't. Maybe they just give us a little bit, whereas we're kind of conflicted, like. And like guys say, wow, if I had my way, I want it 7 nights a week. No, you don't.
No, you don't. Right.
You
yeah.
know? You think you want it more, but you really, maybe you got just what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wow. But again, you know, that's a lot of power to possess in one woman.
Absolutely.
A lot of power.
Absolutely.
But Go ahead. We have to hope that they don't really don't know how much power they possess. We can be in a lot of trouble.
right. But then it also begs the question. Going back to the question, I'm saying, okay, so if they are storing up points, what is it exactly that they want? And I know we don't have we might not have an answer for that. You know, and that's probably individually based. You probably can't even put that on women in general. But I guess from my mindset, from a man's mindset, I think being a one track mind in the sense of sex, that and since they know they don't have to save up any points to get sex, then. I guess that's why I can't fathom what it is that you could be storing up for, because my mind only goes one direction.
Exactly.
And to answer that, I just think, Rodney, that all women would probably want us to pitch in more. You know, some of us pitch in at different levels. Maybe we wash the pots
okay.
or whatever. But I think that we can all do a little more. You know, we can all agree that whatever more is, we can all do a little more. And you look at how we respond better to affection than nagging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas if it's a handhold or that passionate kiss, you know, before you off to work, it's like, man, I think I'm a wash a load of clothes this morning. I mean, it's like, you know, when we get that affection, it's like we want to, like Rodney said, it's like we do have that one-track mind as a goal in mind. But with her, it's just like to make us happy. So it's like we automatically think the same. It's like, well, that passionate kiss, you know what, I'm going to make the bed this morning. You know, I'm going to, you know, unload the dishwasher, whatever it is. We started thinking, like, how can I make her happy? You know, because she just made me happy, so what can I do to reciprocate those feelings that she just expressed to me? You know what I mean?
Right.
Thinking about a woman that has sex for money, right?
Mm-hmm.
The women that are more successful are the ones with the most game, obviously. It may not be. It may not be the body. It may be the game. You know what I mean? Because they're saying those things. They're calling you Big Papa. They're calling you Daddy. They're holding your hand. They're talking that talk to you. They're literally lifting you up to make you go deeper and deeper in that wallet. You see what I'm saying? So there's a sense of purpose. There's a monetary sense of purpose there. You know?
Wow.
I mean, think about it. A lot of those women do really well.
And you really made a bold statement.
But, you know, listen, it's all the saying is, it doesn't matter if it's a man or woman, don't hate the player, hate the game. And
yeah.
The better the person with the better game, the better the talk, the better proposal is going to win every single time.
Every time.
Doesn't matter if you're the best looking, you know, you're Janet Jackson or you know, Whoopi Goldberg.
Well,
I don't know about that.
But looking at that extreme. Go ahead.
How many people have you seen married with a beautiful wife, and you like, you leaving that for her?
Yeah.
Maybe
because
she built him up. Yeah, the emotional piece.
She built him up. She built. Him. I mean, think about it. A woman that builds you, it's like building. Let me tell you what we do. We so crazy, we sit there and tell the next woman what our wife ain't doing.
Mm-hmm.
We lay out a roadmap. Here's a roadmap of what I'm not getting at home. All she's got to do is perform these acts.
Mm.
And she in.
She's in.
She's in. Come on, man.
But I want to rewind to, I mean, because you just made a bold statement. I don't know if you realize it or not, because a woman, like you said, who sex for money, the woman who's more successful or the most successful is the woman that spends the time. Well, what do you do for a living? You know, or, you know, how does your wife treat you? What is she not doing? Just talking and, you know what, you're a great guy. You know, I mean, just that. And the bottom line is we still know that this is a transaction about to go down. Like, did I fold the clothes or what? You know what's going to go down. And yet she still takes the time, the most successful one takes the time to really get real emotional with you. And that's why, you know, like you said, Ms. Holt, they're more successful. Because just think about the woman who's like, ah, $20, you know, you can get it right here, bam, 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 you know, done. What is that?
Yeah.
You know, compared to someone to say, you know, let's just sit down, let's just chat a little bit first. You know, let me massage your shoulders first, or whatever the case may be. Now, I mean, it's a difference. And that's why, like you said, they're more successful than the ones like $20. You can get it right in the back of you. We can go park over here, and it's done. You know, it's the same end result. But look at what happens to get there. It's a difference.
I don't know. I don't think it's the same end result. I don't think. I mean, I think physically.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Physically, it's the same. But I think emotionally,
it's different.
It's different. Because now she in your feelings.
Yeah.
She know what to say. She don't push the right buttons.
Yep.
She going to give you what your wife hasn't in a long time.
You know what I'm saying? And now you're like, man, and I get to pay her after this? Wow.
And she's like, you know, can I see you again?
It's a guarantee.
Yeah. I mean, but like you said, she's pulling on the heartstrings.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do men do the same thing with the game?
Yeah, the game.
Oh, absolutely.
Said, do men and women do the same thing?
I think so.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do too. I was just going to ask a question.
Yeah, I think
so. Okay.
Yeah. So let's rewind it to the beginning when the woman that you married had a sense of purpose. It may not have been monetary, or may have, but it may have been security. It may have been that day. It may have been that wedding dress. It may have been the house, the kids, the you. She sees you as the guy, and her game is on. Because we all know you got game. You don't get the ring unless you got game, period.
Period.
You don't just get the ring. We don't just get a ring to anybody. You got to come with some game. And I'm not talking about dishonesty. I'm not talking about lying. I'm just talking about you got to come with the charisma, the game that's going to make us say, you know what, you are the one. Like, my wife had the game. When she came, she did all the things I was looking for, all the things I needed. I was like, I don't have to look no further. This is it. I'm done. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And same with you all. There was that game. There was a sense of purpose.
Right.
But now, again, I can't answer Rodney's question. Because why is that sense of purpose? Where is it at now? Why are they doing the same things or not doing the same things? And but why? What purpose do they have now?
Right.
Purpose achieved.
But you know they still do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the game is still very much alive.
Yes. Yes. You just illustrated your wife's game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She knew you was mad. And look, she knew. She not only knew you were mad. She knew the level of your angriness, if that's even a word.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She said, okay, now this is what I'm going to have to pull out. I'm going to have to take it to DEFCON 7. So I can
right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
She didn't even need the heels.
She didn't even need the heels. No. Nope.
She took it all the way there instead of going to the normal way, going to the grocery store and just getting all the right stuff that I like.
They know
we simple people, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Men are simple, and so you can get them this, you can get them that, or whatever. Okay, attitudes change slightly a little bit, but then like Tony just said, you take it all the way up to the extreme, then you know what the level of anger is, or like you said. So you have to do certain things. Although, truthfully, I probably wasn't that upset, but that's the way they probably took it.
Right.
But they had that game. They had that measurement. Go ahead.
Rodney, listen. She didn't have to say one word to you. She could have came halfway down the steps, let you take a look, and
went
turn around and went right back up the steps. And you're going to sit there and count 7 Mississippi and 8 Mississippi, you right behind.
Right. Put the big toe out there.
You'd be like, I'm not going to go. I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go. Oh, I got to go.
Right. And sometime later, right, I'm sitting there like, oh, I fell for it again.
Yeah, I'll just be mad later. We can work it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, what was I mad at you for again?
Right. Exactly.
But guess what? It doesn't matter. That's the thing. It just goes to show it doesn't matter. We're going to be mad. They're going to be mad.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they got game.
Go ahead, Rodney. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm gonna save mine. Go ahead.
Oh no. I was gonna say just that when she is trying to get when she has the game and she's trying to get things, whatever those things might be, I think it's obvious to the individual man, because like I said, each one got their own different agendas and games, but it's obvious to you, and then what your wife is. Plan, what she's saving up for, maybe not at the time, but once she gets it, like with my wife, I think we said this before, Rodney, on the call, that she's always going to get out of me what she wants anyway.
Anyway.
But I'm going back to me and Rodney's point of how we handle the money in our houses, which is similar, even though I'm kind of watching the purse, so to speak, and making sure we ain't going doing this. But she knows at the end of the day, if she wants to get this coat, I'm gonna give her a hard time about it. I'm gonna give her the whole lecture. By now, she knows this, so she's kind of ingrained. Okay, I gotta go through the lecture. I gotta go through this. Right, but eventually I'm gonna get there. So And they'll play the game.
Yeah.
Right, okay, well, I'm gonna do this, and then I'm gonna go to the mall and say, oh, this is a nice coat. Oh, these are, you know, expensive shoes, but very nice shoes, and I want to get these or whatever. Maybe even buy me a pair a week before, you know. And then it comes time for it, and I'm like, okay, no, let's sit down, let's talk about this, because this is what we got to do. Here's where we're at. Here's some bills we got to take care of. This, that, and the other, and go do the lecture. And next thing she knows, that, you know, Saturday or something, I'm out of the mall. I pick them up. I bring them home. Be like, hey, look what I just got you. Oh, and I call you surprised or whatever, you know. But the game was there. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you just don't even notice it until long after. It's like someone speaking to you in such almost like a Michael Eric Dyson or Professor, what's his name I'm thinking of, with the hair.
Cornell West.
You know, it's like them sitting there talking to you and just ragging on you with these big words, right? Until a month later, you start dissecting the words and the conversation. You're like, man, that man tore me up. He called me Uncle Tom and everything else, and I didn't even realize because he was using all these other words. That's kind of how it is. You put the game on you, and then later you're like, oh, you know what? That ain't going to happen again. Next thing you know, you're right back in the same situation and played the game on you again.
Yeah, because we signed up for it.
We signed up for it. Right?
And, Ronnie, you look at, you know, when she give you that hug and the fake excitedness, like she knew she wasn't going to get the coat anyway. I mean, she's hugging you, and she's thinking in her mind, like, I mean, just shaking her head, like, this guy. She had to go through the lecture, and oh, we don't have this, we need to save for that, and da da da, and then you end up, bam. It's just like, why must, and they probably think, why must you, you know, go through all of that when it's going to be the same? I'm going to get the coat, you know, just save all of that. You know what I mean? Save all of the gamesmanship. But I want to go back to the purpose, you know, what you said. I want to rewind just a bit, because you said, what is the purpose for them?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the purpose is the ring, you know, because as the host said, their purpose is to get the ring, correct?
Uh-huh.
And I think that once they get the ring, it's almost like with the Super Bowl. They give out rings for the Super Bowl. But I think they forget that there's another season. You know, it's like after the Green Bay Packers, they didn't pack it up after they got the Super Bowl ring last year. They had to go back in training camp because it's like we wanted to get another ring and another ring and another ring and another ring. Whereas they like, I've got the ring. So, you know, I'm retiring. You know, maybe you put them in the Hall of Fame or whatever. But they don't think that it's another season. It's like and then after that, it's another season and another season, and there will be injuries. You know, you won't be 100% healthy throughout your quest for another championship ring. I just think they put it, you know, the whole purpose is once they get the ring, you know, they're just like, well, you know, I'm retired.
I don't know, because then, you know, do they want that MVP in the Super Bowl next time? there's another, you know, or defensive player of the year, you know, along with that. There's some other things to obtain. I think of my own wife in our marriage through the years. I know, you know, yeah, she got the ring, and that was cool for, you know, a couple of years. But then, you know, they started asking for diamond earrings and started asking for diamond watches and, you know, the bracelets and everything. And everything seemed, oh, yeah, that looks so nice. He went to Jared, you know, commercials and stuff, come on. And, you know, and kind of sending those, not even subliminal, really, just saying, oh, that's really nice. Yeah, I would really like something like that kind of thing. And then, you know, here I'm with the okie doke every, you know, not every Christmas, but whether it's Christmas or anniversary or whatever. I could, you know, oh, yeah, I said I wasn't going to get it. Here it is. And again, it's like, oh, really? You know, glad you got it. I didn't think you'd ever get it. Yeah. But now you got to pay me.
There you go. It's nothing free.
We both playing the game. Exactly. We're both playing.
DEFCON 4, you know. But, I mean, again, I think generally speaking, a lot of women think that way. You know, that they've got the ring, you know, which was the whole mission from day one. It's like, this is the guy. I'm going to get the ring. We're going to get married. And then I think they go into like a semi-retirement mode. You know, yeah, they probably still have to work out and train and everything and go through training camp and all that stuff. But I don't think that they're not trying to get another championship or the MVP or, like you said, defensive player of the year. They're not looking for that stuff. They're like, I already got, a ring, Super Bowl ring. You know, it's like, I already got that. You know,
There's got to be something, Rodney. There's got to be a next level. There's got to be.
Or another sport. But you just jump to another sport. I mean, I'm trying to get a championship in every sport, right?
Because
you're trying to get something.
Like
I said with my wife, and I absolutely agree with you. The ring, if I could use this, is the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
By every stretch of the imagination. However, even with, you know, you can take some players. For instance, you can get a Super Bowl ring. However, there's plenty of statistics and plenty of records to be broken.
Yep.
Sure.
And they keep playing for that reason, right?
Yes.
I mean, Jordan liked the fact that he was getting all the rings, and, of course, he was breaking records with trying to get more rings. But in the process, he was breaking even more records. So I had to use Jordan. That's old news. But nonetheless, you can use, you know what I mean? But you can still use, he's still the epitome of basketball. You can choose some of these other players. And even though they have a championship ring, they're still trying to break, passing records or rushing records or this, that, and the other. They're still trying to get 3,000 wins. Who was that recently? Derek Jeter, right?
Yeah.
3,000 games or what, hits or something,
hit.
I'm not a baseball fan, but you know, there's always something to obtain.
Right.
Yeah, but you got to remember, I mean, going back to what I call the night is affection is because, you know, Michael Jordan didn't do it by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He needed that affection from Scottie Pittman. They had to be on the same page. So I think that's where affection comes in building a great championship marriage is understanding each other's affections for each other.
Important cast.
But I think, and playing the game, though, I think, you're talking two individual teams.
Yeah, for sure.
And it can be a harmless. I'm not saying it's as competitive as being, you know, rivalries or enemies in any regard. I'm saying it can be a fun game.
Yeah, friendly competition.
Absolutely. You could be out on the golf course, right? You should say friendly competition. Your friends, you know, you hang out before, and afterwards you'll go out and hang out again. It's nothing, no hardships. You're not trying to hurt anyone's feelings or get anyone out of the league, so to speak. But at the same time, there's still that competition going on. There's still some type of game going on. In some cases, I think it keeps the relationship very fresh. Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah. Maybe it's just everlasting happiness. I mean, because we all know, you know, the stresses that a marriage can bring. We all know the disappointment and all those things. So maybe for them, it's just like, how can I keep this happiness that I have?
How can I just keep
this home in order, this home happy? How can I just, my brownie points, I'm just trying to keep everything together without falling apart.
Right. And instead of using maybe, like I said, these things to obtain trophies, championships, and things like that, how about it's just for bragging rights?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do that too.
Sure they do. Just like we do. You know, I'm just sitting there saying, hey, my wife came down the stairs in lingerie and high heels.
Yeah.
But that was a boast. That was a brag.
For sure.
You know, to some extent, to the fellas who are on the call. And I'm sure, you know, they have conversations with their girlfriends or whatever and say, hey, you know, he went out and, you know, I knew I was going to get him to go out there and get me this diamond necklace that I wanted or whatever the case is, upgrade my car, whatever, you know, or got that new stove or oven I wanted or whatever it is. You know, there's some bragging rights. Yeah, I got that. I got that. I had him go out there. I had him go out there. I know he said he wasn't going to do it, but I got game, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Make yourself look good in front of the girls. No different than, like I said, the guys will do.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
She cooks for me. Yeah, she do my clothes. You know, she had all the stuff, irons it up. And I hear that a lot on the call from all of us from time to time. Different things that are done, you know. Yeah, she does, you know, she irons all my clothes and makes sure my shirt's in there nice and neat so when I go to work, and she might pack my lunch for me or do this, that, and that. And, you know, those are bragging rights.
That's right. Yeah. And then we don't get those things, we cry like a you-know-what.
And we hear those things on the call, too.
You hear them things on it? Yeah, we on the phone with a whole different tone. I'm ready to get a divorce.
Right.
I don't want to be with her no more, man. I'm out of here. You know what I mean? Over something crazy because we've been spoiled.
It's all about her. Right. All about her. She don't do nothing for me. I'm doing everything and this, that, and the other. I'm trying to hold it together.
Right. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Yeah, but that's a good point. And again, you know, that I think that is something that we might want to explore just a little bit further.
I think so.
You know, and I may ask mine. I'll be like, well, what are you really in it for? What ticks you? What makes you, you know what I mean, keep going day after day? You know,
right.
What are you in it for? You know what I'm possibly in it for. You know?
And you think about it. I mean, if you were, and I know communication is key. I understand that. But if you were just to say everything, just the way you want it and this, that, and I know some things we do. But if I just said, well, you know, yeah, I'm going to go out to Vegas. You know, no, you're not coming. I just want to go out to Vegas. You know, if I just wanted to go out with the fellas or whatever, and we wanted to go out to Vegas. If you just came out with that without trying to build up some points or trying to win something, you know, try to do something to earn that trip, so to speak, then without any obvious fallout, because you want to come back and all your clothes are still intact, your car's not burned up, you know, you want to come back right. But I think if you were just to be completely upfront in both directions, I think one, it would be probably pretty boring.
Yeah.
So I think you do, both sides do play the game because, again, I think it brings a freshness, it brings some youth to the relationship, some competitiveness to the relationship, and it just, you know, it brings some fun to it. Like I said, it's not about, or in some cases it is, in some of these relationships it is about enemies and rivalries and, you know, doing stuff that really just completely destroys the relationship. But if it's done, I think, in a very progressive and productive manner, the relationship, I think it's just fun. Okay, here, you got me this time. You won. Here goes the pumps you wanted. And I want it. And by the way, I want it too.
Right.
Right.
That's
I wanted
right.
to see you wearing them, so.
Coming down the stairs.
Yeah. I wanted to see you wearing them anyway, so.
That's good.
And, you know, affection is important to us. I mean,
yeah.
You know, and when you think about shopping, going out buying stuff, and you may go buy Victoria's Secret. And you may be like, yeah, you know, she would look good in this right here.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, nah, I ain't going to buy it. I don't want to get shot down later.
Yep.
I don't want that rejection thing to happen again. I mean, you know,
right.
I know that happens. I know it happens.
Yep.
You know what I mean? We may not want to talk about it, but, I mean, it's reality. You know what I mean? They may not receive that gift well.
Right.
Yeah, you got to be bought because just, you know.
Exactly.
Got
because.
This, just because. Why are you buying me lingerie?
Right.
Why
mm-hmm.
do you think I'm buying you lingerie? I want to see you win it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And again, you kind of play. You're playing the game and see what kind of where her head is at times. She's doing it to see where your head is at times. Instead of just asking directly, like I said, one it could be boring, one it could be taken wrong, and then the whole relationship just falls apart. But you know that Victoria's Secret thing. Many a times. We walk them through the mall or something, and it's different shops up in the mall, especially like a Victoria's Secret, and you say, and I'll be like, hey, babe, you see those over there? You know, those look pretty good. And then, you know, in some cases, she'll be like, come on, stop playing like I'm a child or something, you know.
Yeah,
like, come on, stop being a boy about this stuff. It's just some panties, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And she don't say it, but that's kind of the response I get. Exactly. But another time, she was like, uh-huh, you know, got her eyebrows going and stuff like that, and it's like, Okay, so again, it's me trying to find out, okay, where you at? What's happening tonight? Later on,
that's right.
I want to know where you at.
Yeah, I don't even mess with Vicky's Secret because they ain't trashy enough for me anymore. They've gone into more clothes and all this. They have nice clothes, but I just
you want Frederick
right
of Hollywood. Yeah, you ask what he wants.
I'm just like, yeah.
You got to
just
go straight to the adult bookstore.
Yeah. But no, I mean, on that level, I don't think that I don't think women realize the whole lingerie thing. And like you said, Tony, it's just like I just want to see you in it, for a few minutes, but I don't think they realize. It's like, why am I putting this on just to take it off? It's like I don't think that women realize the effect. And to me, that's a form of affection because, like you said, Tony, that's only because we want to see you in it. It's probably uncomfortable. You won't be wearing it that long. But the few minutes that we see you in it is a show of affection. And I don't think they realize that.
They don't. Right. Men are visual. They realize that. They know when you step outside and you're walking with them and that girl with the big butt walk by and they're looking at you, seeing if you're going to see it. Men are visible. And so the reason why we got you is because we saw you. We saw you in something that looked very nice that wanted, made us approach you.
But you know what? Women are too, though. They want to see you in a certain, in nothing crazy.
Yeah.
It could be a robe or it could be boxer briefs or, hence the reason why you got these bachelorette parties where they have men as cops who strip and, different uniforms or something like that, stripping, because they're visual too and they like certain things look sexy to them. A man in uniform is sexy to them, or, like I said, boxer briefs, or if you got a robe on, or there's certain things to them too that very much turns them on.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell y'all he is 3,000% correct. And guess what? And I didn't know. I knew, but, sometimes my wife tells me I walk around with blindfolds on. I didn't know, And then, all about picking out my underwear and stuff. There's a method to that. There's a method to her picking out my underwear. Sometimes we'll go, she's like, don't buy those.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're like, okay, don't wear those.
Nobody wears tighty whities.
Yeah, right. I know which ones to wear on which nights to wear them.
Right. Exactly.
We know you got all your tighty whities tonight.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You got to prance around a little bit in them. You got to prance
exactly
around the bedroom.
You have to suck in that stomach.
See, I've told y'all many times on this call, man, I don't dress myself no more, man. Y'all laugh at me. But that's the reason. That's one of the reasons why I don't dress myself anymore. She likes doing it.
Yeah.
The affection, she likes to see me when she puts me in.
Yeah.
Does she lay out your drawers too?
Yep.
That's all right.
I'm trying to say, man, listen, when you're in the shower, you be like, come on, man, can I get some type of speech note?
Yeah.
But my wife would buy my drawers. Again, that's why I said that, because I know there's a certain, certain look that she goes for, and she's like, hey, that's sexy right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But let me ask you this, Rodney.
Wearing them underoos don't work. or those holes in the back.
Rodney. Let me ask you this, bro. Rodney, let me ask you this, brother. Has she ever, it's bedtime or whatever, has she ever laid out your drawers or what you should wear to bed that evening? Has she ever done that?
No.
Yeah, mine hasn't either. But on the same token, have we laid out or went in the closet and pulled out some? It's like, won't you wear that tonight?
We probably have before.
Exactly.
I haven't done that, and that's only because of me knowing my wife, because she would do just the opposite.
Yeah.
If I did something like that, I'd just be completely just kind of do her in. However, there has been times where I've made subtle hints. I, there's I'd be over there by the drawer or something like that. And like, hey, are these new? Kind of thing. I know they're not.
Haven't seen these in a while. What did you
see? Yeah, these are good.
Yeah, but on the flip side, I mean, are they ever by our drawer? And you know, are these new? No.
Right.
It don't work that way. It's like, but just imagine you went up tonight. You know, you coming up and then you got your drawers laid out on the bed. Or she say, you know, just when you get out of the shower, just come on through. You know, you don't put nothing on. You know, they don't do stuff like that. That's what
I said. Like I said, that's where I use the Victoria's Secret kind of analogy and saying, I'm asking, well, oh, you see those over there? What do you think? And then she just kind of ignored or just give me that impression that she ain't even about it tonight. The same kind of thing. If I know what the atmosphere is in the house, when I go to take my shower or whatever at night, I'm taking a certain pair with me. And I know what she likes. And then I know if I'm in for something or not. And I come out sucking that gut in. strut around the room or something.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, then you know, y'all was joking earlier, so, you know, you doing them some other draws or whatever that you know, you know, ain't nothing happening anyway. So what's the point?
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly the point. Wow. I want to talk about one other thing. Just one other thing, man. You know, I was thinking about. I want to talk about boning.
What?
Boning. Anybody know what that terminology is? Boning.
Boning. We'll
boning.
Explain to make. I think we do, but explain.
Spike
to make
Lee
sure
would
we're
say
all
it a
clear.
Lot in his movie. He was like, "We were boning,
mm-hmm.
sex
okay.
without intimacy."
Yes.
Mm, okay.
Boning.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How does that work in a marriage? And the reason why I ask that question is because a lot of times, you know, we do have affection issues as men. And we talked on this phone is sometimes we're only affectionate when it's time to get to that, reach that point.
Get down with the get down.
Get down with the get down. You know what I'm saying? But there's got to be other times where there's no affection, just sex. Just come on, you know, let's.
I don't know.
Okay.
And I'm only saying, go ahead. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, I just think that with that, she has to initiate. That's the only way that will work because we don't mind that. But if you initiate and she's just like, well, we can just, you know, just get it in. You're like, you know, what are you doing? But at the same time, if she takes over and she's just like, come on, you know, and just go right at it, then it's like, what can you do? You know, so I think it only works if she initiates that, because I think if not, then we kind of look at it like she's just fulfilling her wifely duty or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean?
Without any affection.
But I think, you know, if she initiates, fellas, you know it's on.
But if she initiates, then I don't think it's boning. If she initiates, we already talked about the fact that if she initiates, we all in with both feet and both hands.
Gotcha.
Because we are turned on to the max, correct?
Yep.
Sure.
Because that's what does it. But what about when it's flipped and we just want to get in and get out?
So I think in order for me to go along with that, what do you mean by no affection?
Well, I mean,
no
real kissing, no hugging, no foreplay, no. I mean, all the things that, I mean.
Gotcha. I got you. So
some people argue the point that affection starts in the morning.
Erection might start in the morning. I don't know about that. That
is an erection.
That definitely starts in the morning. But some people say it's an all-day thing. Like, if it's Wednesday night, that's your night. You know, that's y'all's night. So you knifed in the morning. You call me at work. How you doing? How was your lunch? I see you at dinner time. Yada, yada, yada. Wednesday night,
right.
Boom, explosion.
Right.
But let's say it's Monday night.
Okay.
And you're like, yeah, you know, I ain't put no work in all day. I ain't called her. I ain't hug her. I ain't kiss her. But I still want to get a little something. You see where I'm going? You know, it, to the point, she probably won't tell you no, but it's just right. Like, eh, all right, let's yeah, come on, we can do it. And that may, you know, it may be a moot point. I mean, it may not happen in most marriages, you know, but you do hear a lot of women saying, you know, I'm just like Rodney said, I'm doing my wifely duty.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, if you initiate, like if y'all, you know, she's just like, oh, can we just get it over with?
Ooh.
I mean, or just something along those lines, that's not going to, that's going to affect your bone, you know. I mean,
yeah.
You might be like, oh, all right, you know, it's, you're not going to be. Versus if she just was like, you know, and I think it too, Ms. Owens, I think that it depends on the setting. You
sure.
know, say that you're not at home in the, you know, the quarters of your four walls or the bedroom and the door is locked and the kids are put away and all that stuff. If you're in a situation, you know, where that's all you can do, you know, that's all you got the time for, or whatever, hey, you know, I just think it varies depending on where you are and how much time you got.
Yeah, but some of those times are the most passionate times.
True.
Sure.
I think. You know what I mean? All the chips are stacked up against you. And you're like, oh, honey, come on, honey.
Like we might get caught.
We got to go in this bathroom right here and get it in.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's go. You know.
Mm-hmm.
You know that beginning of the marriage stuff, the courting stuff. That's
mm-hmm.
kind of mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's 10:59.
It is
10:59. And yeah, we didn't have big numbers tonight, but you know, it's the holidays. It is what it is. But I enjoyed it.
I did. Good show.
Yeah.
Good show.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed it. That affection piece is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and just identifying the little things. You know, my big aha moment 7 years ago with the handheld. You know, that was huge for me. And even today if she does it, it's still huge. Because it shows, it's just like, for me, it's an ego booster. It's a, you're my man, come on. And you know, we want that. We want to feel as men like we the man.
Yeah.
We love it. You know what I mean? Every time you look at a movie where a man is like a comic movie where a man's having sex with a woman, he's like, say my name. What's my name? Call me Big Papa. Call me Big Papa. We like that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? We like that recognition.
Sure.
You know, and when we don't get it, it's deflating.
Yep.
And for women, it can be very territorial, too.
Yes.
You know, hey, you know, don't even bother looking over this way.
Yeah.
I got him by the hand. I'm going to hug him. I'm going to, you know, and sometimes, you know, you got to really consider those moments, too. It's like, whoa, where all this come from? You out in the middle of the mall. Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
And in some cases, you know, that's where it stems from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was dating my wife, she used to tell me, you know, boy, yeah that one over there was looking at you. You know, I mean, I was like, how do you know that? She's like, you, because you don't know, you don't notice anything. I'm like, I wasn't trying to notice. She was like, well, you know, I noticed. Because they notice more than we know. She would even say, I noticed when you turned around. I saw one chick look like Beyonce. I turned around. I shouldn't have, but I couldn't help it. And she brought it up like 2 days later. Remember that time we was at the flea market? Yeah, I noticed that you turned around and looked at Beyonce. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, they pick up on it. But, again, I think affection for us is just as important as it is for them. Even though we don't like to talk about it, we won't tell the fellas that we watch chick flicks with our wives and things like that. We won't even talk about spooning, because I don't know any man that's going to talk about spooning.
Right.
Snuggling. You know, but we all like that stuff. Some of us have a sense of purpose while we're doing it, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yep. Good words.
Yep. But anyway, it's 11 o'clock. I'm going to flip the switch
so we can go on open mic.
Okay. Good call.
Yeah.